The Bible reading today is from 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 3, verse 16, and going through to chapter 4, verse 2. So 2 Corinthians 3, 16 to 4, 2. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God.
You, Marion. Ooh. Good morning. How are we doing? That is a lively bunch. So good, so good. Hey there, my name's Ben, and I'm one of the pastors here at PBC, and I am so excited to be here with you this morning. In a moment, I'll share what we are going to be talking about. But before we get started, I have a quick question. When you were a kid, or maybe a bit younger, was there ever anyone that you looked up to that you wanted to become like when you grew up? Someone you aspired to be or to be like? Maybe you're a young person, you can picture that person now. Maybe a bit older and you still have someone you aspire to be. Is there someone that you've looked up to wanting to be like them? I'm going to give you 20 seconds to turn to someone around you and share. Who is like someone that you aspired to be, especially when you were younger? How do we go? Did anything come to mind? Did anyone come to mind who you wanted to be when you grew up? No? Sorry? You want to be like your dad? Oh, that's so cool. Anyone else?
My mom.
Your mom. I see a theme. I see a theme. Yeah. Sunday school teacher. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Similar, youth group leader.
Yeah, nice, nice. Oh, this is good. These are people we should be looking up to. This is. I like this. I like this. Yeah, Tristan.
Dean Jones.
Sorry?
Dean Jones.
Dean Jones. I liked an answer down here from one of our youth band members that they actually aspired to be a band member up on the stage. So there's a full circle right there. I wonder if you can remember who you aspired to be, but I also wonder who of us actually become like the people who we aspire to be or become like the person who we want to be like. One of my aspirations as a child was to become like this person. It's a high standard, but I was setting my bar high. I was aiming big. For those of you who weren't part of the in the room, this guy, his name is Donald Bradman. deserving the respect of the sir all the way. And he was an Australian cricketer back in the 1920s through 40s. He played for Australia, and his batting was the stuff of legend. The scores this guy made, the records that he broke, have just like set the bar for the best of the best over the last century. And so, for me, as a young teenager playing cricket with my club cricket, I decided that my cricket team, they needed a Donald Bradman as well, and I was going to be him. So I gave it a crack, but I was really conscious that to be like Donald Bradman, I didn't just need to want to be like him, I actually needed to do the things that he did. And so one thing he was really famous for is he would get a stump and a golf ball when he practiced as a kid, and he would go out and he would bounce the golf ball against a water tank until he could like get the accuracy perfect, which then translates to scoring sixes on the cricket field. And so I saw the same thing, right? I got this stick-like thing, and everywhere I went, I got a squishy ball, and I was hitting it all over the place, just honing my eye in. The sad reality was that my batting was always pretty poor. That never changed. Later on, I did find out that I needed glasses, so that... whether that's part of the problem or whether that was my excuse, I don't know. That's just a part of reality. But for whatever reason, over time, I think I became less interested in being like the Don. Maybe I became a little discouraged and just kind of over time forgot about this aspiration to be like Sir Donald Bradman. And I wonder if as we start this year together, like 2024 has started, but as we embark on all that 2024 is going to be, I wonder if God's heart for us is that this doesn't happen to us. Not our aspiration to be like Donald Bradman, but our communal aspiration to be like Jesus. His heart is for us to be like Jesus. And I think, I wonder if over time, our aspiration, our heart, our desire to live and love like Jesus actually can grow cold or even drift away. And so as we begin this year, we just wanted to come back and return to the question of who we as Parramatta Baptist Church are aspiring to be, who we seek to be here. And at the end of this time, of this message, we're going to give you a chance to very practically commit yourself to be praying that God would be moving in powerful ways in and through the life of our church. In other words, today we're going to be unpacking the words on the wall over there. On the wall, you'll find our vision statement. On our website, you'll find our vision. And even on things that we hand out to people, you'll find our vision statement as well. What is a vision? Well, my answer to that is it's simply the answer to who do we seek to be? We seek to be a community of people, there we go, led by God's Spirit, each joining with Jesus to see lives transformed. That's who we seek to be. I don't know if you get excited just by those words. I hope you do. We're going to unpack it, though, in a moment. I'm just going to kick off by praying, though. Is that okay? Yeah? Why don't you pray with me? Yeah, Heavenly Father, we treasure this time that we can come together and worship you, to be encouraged by one another in our pursuit of being like you as well. As we embark into 2024, Lord, I just pray a blessing over us as a church. Would we be the people who take up the call that you have on our lives? Would we step into the things that you have for us, empowered by you? And right now, Lord, would you just grow an anticipation for how you're going to be at work in our church this year? Be glorified in it all, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, to unpack this vision, what we're actually going to do is we're going to start at the last line. We're going to skip through the first three that are talking about what we're going to do and who we're going to be. We'll come back to it. And we're going to go to the last line, which is the outcome line, the impact piece, if you will. We seek to be a community of people led by God's Spirit, each joining with Jesus to see lives transformed. Now, I'm really conscious that when you go into different community groups or groups of people anywhere, there's often words that make sense to those people that may not make sense to people who come in. And so if you're new here, you may not know what we mean when we use the word transformation. Or maybe if you've already been a part of us, you're maybe a bit airy on what that word actually means. And so I'm going to try and wrap a few of my own words around what I think transformation is. But I wonder if it's actually more helpful to show you than to tell you. I read this story once of a woman who for the last 12 years, more than a decade, had just been bleeding non-stop, pain non-stop. In the context that she was in, it was a really shameful thing. She was shunned by the people around her because they were scared. If she comes close, then we're going to get dirty. We're going to be unclean as well. Until one day she heard about a man who had come into the town. And this man had been proclaimed as a wonderful healer, and she got excited. So she went out to see this healer. And she didn't have time. There was a massive crowd, so she didn't get an audience. Instead, she came up, and all she did was she touched the clothes on this healer. And all of a sudden, suddenly she was completely healed. 12 years of pain, 12 years of shame, 12 years of loss, 12 years of hardship just fell from her shoulders. As she was completely healed. That healer was Jesus. And in that moment, she encountered the presence and the power of God, and it changed her forever. We can define transformation, but what is it? That is transformation. Or maybe another story. Everywhere that Jesus went, there always seemed to be massive crowds that gathered around this guy. And at one point, he was in a house, and so the house was just chockers with people. But some people came along, and they had a friend of theirs, and this man was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And they wanted to bring this person before Jesus, the great healer who they'd heard of. But they couldn't actually get to Jesus because the place was chockers, like today. So instead, they hatched a very fun plan, which actually is an amazing story, of them going up to the roof, digging a hole in the roof, lowering this guy down to the feet of Jesus, and then having this person at his feet. Jesus tells this man, "Your sins are forgiven, get up and go home." And he stands up. A guy, like he did not walk when he was lowered into this building, and yet he walks out with his mat in hand, having been able to walk now, to run, maybe even dance, to earn a living. Like his life being changed. What is transformation? That is transformation. Or another story, maybe one of the most profound or known transformation stories, of a man who was hunting Christians down because they believed in Jesus. And whilst he's traveling to go and find some, he encounters Jesus for himself, hears the voice of God, and his whole life is completely shifted upside down. And he, from being a persecutor and a hunter of Christians, he becomes someone who wrote words that's still challenging and guiding and encouraging me in my faith, and hopefully you in yours. That man's name was Saul, became Paul, and he wrote much of our Bible. What is transformation? That's transformation. Making sense? Yeah? Sometimes it's easier to see transformation than to define it, but I'm still going to give it a go. In each of these stories, which are in the Bible, we just see the ripples that go out from Jesus everywhere he went. People's lives would be changed forever. He would speak to people and their minds would be opened in ways like never before. He would touch people and illnesses that plagued them for decades would be gone. He would walk in and people would walk out, changed by the presence and power of God. So what is transformation? These are just my words that I would put around it. And I'd say the transformation is, thank you, the change experienced in someone's life through an encounter with the presence and power of God. Trying to keep it simple, trying to keep it general. It doesn't always look the same. In fact, it actually looks quite different from person to person. But these stories are exciting, hey? Like, I don't know how you feel when you hear these stories. I hope that you get excited, because these are the kind of stories that we love to celebrate here at PBC. Because there's some good news. And that is that although those stories are 2,000 years old, the same God who did those things is not only alive now, but he is in the same business. He is transforming lives today. And so as a church, we love to celebrate the radical and beautiful ways that Jesus transforms lives. A couple of years ago, we decided we would do this in a kind of a graphic way. So if you look over at that wall, you'll see a big white tree. And what we said is we're going to put this on the wall, and we are just going to invite God to be transforming lives of people who come into contact with us and our church. And in God's ways, we actually started to see fruit on that tree. And every piece of fruit that would go on that tree was the story of one person's life that was transformed by the presence and power of God. And so he put up the tree, and God started to put fruit up on that tree, one by one by one by one, transforming lives, rippling out across our church community and beyond. And then at the end of every year, we'd kind of fill the tree, and then we'd empty it down back to zero. And then we would just pray, God, would you fill that tree again? And he would transform life after life after life after life, and that tree would be full. This is what it looked like at the end of last year. We took the fruit down. That's awesome, right? That is cool. Every single year, we took down the fruit, and we celebrated those stories as we went, but every year, God kept on transforming lives. Here I have a bowl. This bowl represents the lives that Jesus has transformed in and through our community from 2019 through to 2022. There's a lot here. You want to know how many are here? 342. How cool is that? That is really cool. That is really cool. And that is what God is in the business of doing. But as I said, 2019 through 2022. On Friday, we came to the tree and we took down the fruit that was on the tree. In 2023, we celebrated 118 lives transformed by Jesus. 118. I'm just going to add them in here. There we go. That's a full jar. That's a full jar. Not full enough, but that is a full jar. He's still at work, thank God. So the stories that I told you just a moment ago are 2,000 years old. Every single one of these stories are less than five. Every single one of these are less than five. And one of the beautiful things you'll find about transformation is that it's actually incredibly personal and different from person to person. And so, yes, I'm holding a lot of beads that look like they're the same as each other, but every single story in here is incredibly unique and powerful. And so we have some that are transformation stories as people have given their lives to Jesus. And the Bible talks about the radical transformation that one goes through when they give their life to Jesus. We see in the passage that was read out in 2 Corinthians, the image of a veil being lifted as the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside people. There's images of moving from death into life, images of moving from orphan to adopted child. Spiritual freedom, forgiveness, redemption, identity is bestowed on people as they come to faith. Purpose is established as people come to faith. This is a radical transformation that happens when people give their lives to Jesus. And so in here, we have hundreds of stories of people giving their lives to Jesus for the first time. We have James, who after doing BDM for 5 months has fallen in love with Jesus and begun a relationship with him. We got Peter, who was a nominal Muslim and began exploring the Christian faith online. He came into our community and started reading the Bible with a couple of people from church here and has since given their life to Jesus. We have another story. Arthur, who gave their life to Jesus on a youth camp, which was the moment that, or really importantly, was the moment that they owned their own faith as opposed to being their family's thing. That was a decision that they made at youth camp. We got Ruth, who gave their life to Jesus after visiting church with their partner on and off for a few months and decided that they were all in. In here, we've got five. We've got five, who are the five young people who gave their life to Jesus at youth camp last year. There's 10 in here. I don't know which 10, but there are 10 in here who represent the people, the young people, the youth, who gave their life to Jesus less than 24 hours before we went into our first COVID lockdown. I love God's humor in that. Like literally, like an altar call. People come forward, give their lives to Jesus, and 24 hours later, we can't step outside our houses. Like that is awesome. That's 10 of those stories. And story after story after story, we see people who've given their lives to Jesus and we just get to celebrate, hey? It's a joy to hear about these. It's a joy to witness them. It's a joy to be any part of what God is doing in these people's lives. But there's also an ongoing transformation that Scripture talks about as well in the life of every disciple of Jesus. As we increasingly know the presence and power of God, we are transformed continually into Jesus's image, into his likeness. Again, that's the verse that we just read out. But yeah, we know this, right? We know we're not fully formed into the likeness of Jesus just yet. We're learning to live and love like Jesus, and that is a lifelong journey. A journey that may see the Lord rewrite some narratives in our world to align us with his truth. Or he brings freedom to an area that we've been stuck. Or he might bring a deeper revelation of his character in our life. Or a profound comprehension of who we really are in Christ, or a life-changing experience of his love and his grace. You see, right? Transformation is the work of God in the lives of both those who don't know him and those who already do know him. So in here, yes, we have fruit of people who've given their life to Jesus, but we also have transformation happening in the lives of people who do. Anna. Through prayer ministry at the end of a service, Anna was released from a spirit of death that has tormented her for a number of years. She felt it leave, and 2 months later testified in open mic of the tangible difference that it has made in her life. Spiritual freedom, liberated by Jesus. That's so cool. Here we have, oh, I didn't make up a name. All these names, I've changed the names, but all these stories are the actual stories of people. I didn't make up a name for this person. So this person, they felt God challenged them to fast from negativity, which is really interesting. And it not only brought about a tangible positivity into their life, but it was so profound that it opened up faith conversations into the non-church, non-Christian family and friends around that person. That is transformation. And I know there's so many in here, but I actually want to tell you one that's on the tree if I can, because those are fresh, less than a month old, and really exciting as well. One of those, a couple of years ago, we're going to call her Amy, was in a really, really dark place. And I mean, like really, really dark mentally, and faith was super low. They shared this with their youth leader on a youth camp and received prayer and support. 2 years later, it's been 2 years. And after journeying this path for 2 years, last week at our getaway, that young person came up to that same leader and said, "Oh no, I'm okay. Can you help me? I see someone else in the room who I feel is in the same place that I was in 2 years ago." So they took that leader, they went over to that young person, and that leader starts having a conversation with them and praying with this person. And then this voice comes in, who is this other young person whose fruit is up on the tree, and they start sharing a message of hope. And their message of hope was their own story. They told that young person how Jesus met them where they were, how Jesus comforted them, and how Jesus brought them to the place that they're now at. Now that they are actually in a place right now where they are sharing their faith by leading younger people than them, excited by the love of Jesus and excited to share that with other people. How cool is that? From where she was 2 years ago, that is absolutely profound. And maybe I realize this as well. Maybe you know some of the stories that are in here, and you might be going, "He didn't tell the best one." and I'm really conscious that the best one is often the closest one to you. It's often how it works, because transformation is incredibly personal. And so I get excited by that one because I'm like two steps away from that person. But maybe there's another story that just has you excited by what God is doing, because he is alive and he is at work. And in this bowl, we have representation of children. Some here are retired. We have boys, we have girls, we have men, we have women who the Lord is transforming into the likeness of Jesus. How do you feel about these stories? How do you feel? Yes. I hope you get excited, because like that's the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father that says, when my prodigal son, when he comes home, I'm going to throw a feast and we're going to celebrate that my lost son is home. Like that is the heart of the Father. I want that to be my heart. I'd love for that to be ours as well. It feeds here at PVC into every nook and cranny of what we do. In our youth ministry, we are devoted to seeing lives being transformed by Jesus. In our kids and families ministry, women's ministry, men's worship, park ministry that's happening right now, prayer ministry, and the list goes on. In every single space, we are just hungry for God to be at work and to transform lives. Oh, we're going to keep on going, but I just want to quickly make a little side note / tangent. I wonder if we can look at those stories and go, "That's great for them." I wonder if it's easy to kind of distance ourselves away from it. But I also wonder if this might be you a year from now. Like, I wonder if you're like one of these people who God is going to transform in a radical way in the next year. I have faith that he's going to fill that tree again, right? He's already moving. He's already started. But I wonder if you're going to be one of these. Perhaps you put yourself in the place of going, yeah, I'm pretty good. Like, I can't see what God would change about me. I'll let you rebuke yourself. But maybe you are genuinely there going, I don't know what is going to change. Honestly, it seems okay. But the reality is, if you don't perfectly live and look and love like Jesus, there is space for transformation. Or maybe you're the opposite and you go, I want to be one of these. I long to be one of these. Maybe you see in your life the space that you desire God to transform. Maybe you see the need for some formed narratives and patterns of thinking to be removed, some addictions to be broken, oppression to be lifted. Maybe there's an aspect of God's character that you desire to be part of your character. I wonder, are you one of these? Are you willing to be one of these? Because our heart isn't just that it happens to them. Our heart is that we are transformed. A radical life change that happens through experiencing the presence and power of God. Transformation is the end game. Seeing people's lives radically change as they experience the presence and power of God. So, what about the rest of our vision? Where do they come in? We don't have time to unpack all of it. I'm not going to. We actually, in the next couple of weeks, are going to be talking about the values of PBC. And so these pieces are actually going to kind of filter through over the next couple of weeks. But I do want to quickly touch on them. Firstly, we seek to be a community of people. While Jesus was telling people about the kingdom of God, a moment came up when he decided to send people out in his name. And we can read about it in Luke 10, which is going to be up on the screen. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Further down, you kind of see them come back and report. They say, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Mission success, it looks like. But do you notice how he sends them out? Like he doesn't send them out one by one. He sends them out two by two. There's this sense that throughout the whole Bible, there's this sense that everything that we do as disciples of Jesus has this aspect of like togetherness. You don't stand alone. I don't stand alone. Our leaders don't stand alone. We are in this together. We are a community of people with a common cause, and we're in. I'm going to leave that there. We could unpack that for days, and we actually will get to similar threads in the coming weeks. We seek to be a community of people led by God's Spirit. In his final meals with his disciples, Jesus imparts his final pieces of wisdom and insight, including this piece. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to be here for long, but my presence and power, the presence and power of God, is going to continue with you just in a slightly different way. The Holy Spirit that now lives in all believers is the same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the dead. And so as a church, we believe that he will make a way. He will give us the strength to answer the things he calls us to. And together, we will be led by the Spirit. And as a leadership team, we commit ourselves to that, to lead this church, but first be led by the Spirit in that. We seek to be a community of people led by God's Spirit, each joining with Jesus. And so we've already done the last line, so we're going to stop at this one. This is powerful, though, because it straddles the line between my job and God's job. Firstly, the my job. I want you to imagine this, right? Imagine if everyone in our church were to go into their life and find someone who doesn't know Jesus, would share their faith with that person, maybe read the Bible with them, and then see that person give their life to Jesus. What would we see? Maybe, 500? 600 people? New believers like that? Now, we don't make them, God makes them, but if we stepped out intentionally and faithfully with what God has given us, I wonder what would happen. Hundreds, right? That is the power of each. Flip it upside down. Our 10 pastoral team members. If all of our 10 pastoral team members went into their life, found a person of peace, shared faith, maybe read the Bible with someone, and then saw those people all give their life to Jesus, what would we see? 10 new believers. That is awesome. That is worth celebrating. 10 to 600. That's 590 difference. That's the power of each. 590 doesn't fit in this building, by the way. Like, that is a lot of people coming into the kingdom. That is the power of each. And so as you sit here, you might be going, that's awesome. These, so cool. I want more beads on that tree. That is great. And you may even go into your life and talk to other Christians and go, you never guess what happened in our church. Like, it is awesome what God is doing. And you may rave, you may be proud, I don't know. But the reality is you can do all of these things without actually participating. The Lord, he wants to transform people's lives and he wants to use you. But he can't if you're just watching. I'm not seeking to shame or to judge or try and measure who's doing their part. That's not the goal here. But potentially for you, it's an internal kind of wake-up moment. I'm going, maybe I've been sitting here on the sidelines and I've been hearing stories of people reading the Bible with their friends and seeing some amazing fruit coming of that. Or maybe I've heard about the lives being transformed in our ministries or our youth ministries or any other ministries. And maybe you just don't want to be on the sidelines anymore. You do have a part to play. I may not know what it is, but God does. Maybe this is a moment for you to choose to come off the bench and join the game. Will you join with us to see lives transformed? Will you join with Jesus? Will you join with Jesus to see lives transformed? For you, it might look like sharing a faith with a person of peace in your life. It might look like leading a small group where young people or older people can experience the presence and power of God. I don't know. I don't know what it looks like for you, but there is a personal ownership piece where God desires your work. And yet in all of this, your work is incredibly valuable, but we need to remember whose mission it is. Right? It's not Kathy's, it's not Steve, it's not Ben's mission. It's not, even though we are owning it as PBC, it's not our mission. This is Jesus' mission. In all that we do, we need to remember that we are joining him in his work, yeah? Yeah, we are joining him in his work. He is the one that transforms lives. I can get up, I can preach a sermon, I can go to a youth group and give a talk, I can run a small group, I can do all of these things. I'm not the one who is transforming them. God is the one who is transforming them. It is his mission, right? And so although I have these things that I can do in obedience to God, I still need to submit to him and depend on him to be the one who transforms the lives. Yeah. So what is my role in that? Can I suggest one answer? Prayer. Powerful. Prayer is powerful. If you just open your Bible, you'll see the power of prayer right before you. Peter, one of the leaders of the church, put in prison. The whole church rallies, praying for his freedom. An angel comes into the prison, tells him to get his stuff, takes him out of prison. How cool is that? Well, Steve was telling the story of Esther a few weeks ago, where a nation was in threat of complete genocide. And so they rallied together in prayer. Not in conflict, they didn't arm themselves with swords and try and kill everyone. They went to prayer. They knew where the true power lay. And so as we look to 2024, we have faith that that tree is going to be filled, and we believe that is the power of God. But would you pray? If that is what God does when people, the faithful church, pray, what is he going to do this year if we all committed ourselves to praying that God would transform lives? I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to make you do it. But I'm going to give you space to genuinely commit yourself to be praying that God would transform lives in and through PBC. Perhaps you are a leader of a small group and you go, there are people in my group, I'm just going to pray for them specifically that God would transform their lives. Maybe you have a person of peace in your life, I'm going to pray that they would encounter God and he would transform them. I don't know. Maybe you have a specific person. Or maybe you're just going to cover the whole church in everything that we do. Even our working beasts, even the cleaning that happens here. Would that be a witness of who Jesus is to our world? Would that have an impact in people's lives? And so I'm actually going to invite you to commit yourself to prayer this year. And the way that we're going to do this is we've got a bunch of these little pieces of fabric on our three tables, one at the back, two at the front. And the invitation is to come up. If you would commit yourself to be praying into what God has for us as a church, write your name on this piece of fabric and then just leave it in the white buckets that are there. Throughout the week, we're going to take down the names that are already up on our tree and we're going to put up everyone's names afresh. Now, if the fruit are the transformed lives, then surely the prayers of our church are going to be the soil that the tree is sitting in, getting its nutrients from. So, will you commit to be praying for our church community that God would transform lives? Imagine if we were a community of people led by God's Spirit, each joining with Jesus to see lives transformed. That's exciting, hey? I don't think that bowl's big enough. That's my prayer. That bowl's not big enough. That a bathtub's not big enough. That a swimming pool is not big enough. Come on, come on. Where is the limit on God's power? I don't know it. I don't know that it ever exists. But he's in the business of transforming lives. So I just want to quickly pray and then we'll invite you to do that. Heavenly Father, you transform lives. And we pray that would be our testimony, the one on our shared lips at the end of this year. We invite you, Lord, to move in power. We invite your presence to be here and at work. We long for more of you. For those who don't know you, Lord, we pray that you would you meet them. Lord, show yourself to them. And as they encounter your presence and power, would they give their lives to you and experience life in your name? And Lord, for those in this room and beyond who already know you, we present ourselves to you as well. And we invite you to transform us as well. Where there is oppression, Lord, bring freedom. Where there are false narratives, bring truth. When there is hurt, Lord, bring healing in the profound measure that only you can. So as a church, Lord, we give ourselves to you for 2024. Be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.